Welcome to another episode of What's Your Dream podcast. Today, we are honored to introduce Rusty, a seasoned entrepreneur and the mastermind behind Old School Marketing. With decades of experience, Rusty blends traditional marketing techniques with modern strategies to create powerful, results-driven campaigns. As a dedicated CEO, Rusty focuses on understanding his employees' dreams and aspirations, fostering a supportive work environment. Happily married with five children, he balances his professional and personal life with grace. Join us as Rusty shares his journey, leadership insights, and the enduring value of old school marketing in today's digital world. Hello, Rusty. How are you today?
I'm great. How's Trisha?
Awesome. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You ready to go ahead and get started with the first question?
Yes, ma'am. Bring it on.
All righty. What is your biggest dream or aspiration?
Biggest dream or aspiration to own companies that are employing great people and to watch the people get better and to grow within the organization that we have. I'm very people oriented, and I like to see people just get better, whether that be monetarily, but also just personally. And so we try to put things into place to assist people in getting better. And it's just part of my company culture. So it's one thing that's a big deal to me is my people, because without the right amount of people, the right people with you, you're never going to get anywhere. You got to have the right team.
Absolutely. I think so many business owners think, oh, I can do this myself. I can do this myself. I can do this myself. And I would actually venture to say it is impossible to run a business profitably by yourself.
Every time I hoard a responsibility or a task and I don't share it and give it away, I literally have to go spank myself. I'm wrong. My philosophy, I've been doing this for a long time, many decades at this point. My philosophy is I want to learn it. I want to understand it. I mean, I get in and I figure it out. I learn all the instrument details and I learn everything. And then as soon as I get it, okay, who am I giving this to? And then I go train them on what I've learned. I've got an idea of what's going on, but I'm not holding on to it. And I don't micromanage. And so biggest dream is to be better at it, to get quicker at letting go of anything that I think it's only for me. And there are things, and it's been really hard. And I've worked with other CEOs, and those CEOs, it's a struggle. Getting CEOs to just let go and give that away. And we think I can do better than anybody else. To train somebody is going to take more time. They're going to screw something up. I'm going to do it better. These are the emotions and things that go inside our psyche. And the truth is, there is some truth to it. But if we don't learn, and this is true at home, if we don't learn to delegate and to give away, we can't get better. We can't focus on what the main thing is in our own lives. And as a CEO, as a president, somebody that's leading within your company, you can't be that way, because you're never going to get anywhere. You're never going to grow. You've got to have the right people on the team, and then you've got to be willing to give it away and not be in charge of every little bitty thing. So, yes.
Yeah. Well, not to mention the aspirations of your business going forward, right? I mean, there's no way that you can ever scale your business if you try to do everything. And I just had this conversation earlier. It's like, you should always go into your business thinking, okay, what do I want to see in 10 years? I don't want to be doing any of the actual work in the business, right? Just be working on the business as the CEO and taking on that role.
I did something, and I think I might be crazy. I'm not sure yet. But it's forced this topic to the front of my life. And I'll tell you what it is. About 45 days ago, my business partner and I, we launched four brand new companies, and they all launched on the exact same day. And from my perspective, I'm sitting here going, I'm in so much trouble. There's so much to do. I physically couldn't do it. And I got to that point, and I was there within a week because I've been honing this very skill for decades at this point. But as soon as I realized the mode I was in, I immediately stopped and I started, okay, you, let's talk. Here's what you're going to go do. I started delegating at a rapid pace because it's impossible. It was impossible for me to run old school marketing and four more companies that just start scratch all at the same time. So I immediately took my delegation skills, threw them into place, got rid of some tasks that I was doing so that I could get back, because here's what was happening. I was doing all these menial tasks, but I was not able to get back to what I'm supposed to be doing as a CEO. And I was starting to fail. And so it was a quick realization, just simply because I've been doing what we're talking about every day for decades. It came natural for me to say, okay, I know what my problem is, and I start shedding them. So what are you doing to craft and hone your own skills? You know, every day, what are you getting rid of? What are you going to give to somebody else? You can do that. Also, subcontractors, they're not our enemy. In fact, sometimes subcontractors are cheaper than employees.
Right.
And so be willing to give away to a subcontractor sometimes.
Oh, yes. I've definitely learned that in my web design and branding agency for sure. 100%.
Yes.
All right. Next question is, what makes you feel grateful and full of joy today?
So I'm going to answer this two ways. One is to see my people walk in the door and they're smiling. I want people to enjoy what they do. And so one of the things passionate about me is, so we'll hire somebody. I'll bring them in. I think I know where they're best suited for, but I try to find the best slot for them to go once they've been here long enough. And so we move people to where they can be more successful. And my thought is this: I want people to enjoy the work that they're doing. And when they enjoy it, they produce better. And so when people walk in my door and there's a frown, and I'm a big micro expression, I'm watching people's micro expressions, I'm trying to see what's going on inside the behind the scenes, and I'm trying to impact them in a positive way. So, but the job that you're doing, if you're not enjoying it, if you don't love it, if you're not passionate about it, why are you doing it?
Right.
And so that is what I'm looking for. And that is one of the things I'm looking for to be grateful for, is because when I see somebody walk in my door, and they've got that smile on their face, and you can tell that they are genuinely happy. And they're not just telling me, I'm happy because you're the CEO and I want to keep my job. Right. I don't want to hear that either. I want to know the truth. And so that's what I'm grateful for. Today, I walk in and most of the people I come in contact with, they've got a smile. You can genuinely see the passion in what they do. And that is one thing I'm grateful for, because I'm succeeding in changing people. And I don't mean I'm trying to physically change them. I'm trying to make a positive impact in their lives,
right,
so that they can be got more. So that's what I'm grateful for. And I try to be very cognizant and aware of every human I come in touch with to make a positive impact in their lives and in what they do.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of my why. The other part would be, because of my people, I live a good life.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that. If I didn't have a great team that was there working alongside me, and trust me, I work really hard. And one of the things you said was that I don't want to be working on the company as I get older. That doesn't mean that us as CEOs aren't working.
Right.
It means that we're working on the company, not in the company. It doesn't mean that I'm drinking Mai Tais on the beach, you know, 360 days a year. I'm not doing that. No, I'm working just as hard, but I'm doing it because I love it, and I'm focused on the bigger picture, not the smaller picture. So that would be my grateful part, is watching me be able to give to my family,
yeah,
and to allow them to live a good life.
Absolutely. Love it. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that I respect about you and how you run your company the most, is just knowing, you know, we're talking about dreams and aspirations today, but just even beyond that, knowing the dreams and aspirations of the people that work with you, and knowing that you're helping make those come true. And that's, you know, that's the whole idea of, you know, just wellness in an organization, and keeping your head up and keeping employees happy and retaining them. And it's not about the money, right? I think I had just went to a a Gen Z conference, and they were talking about how Gen Z people, what they really, really want is they want to actually be seen and heard, right? And they want to be given praise and things like that more so than a raise.
I can see that. I can see that. We employ several of them. And it's exactly what you said. It's not about money.
Yeah.
It's not. It literally is. You know, give them a big bear hug. Tell them that they're doing a great job. Just be there.
Yeah.
And be that human that's a friend. And I think in some ways, a lot of Americans, we've lost that.
Yeah.
And we got so used to living in our homes and not being around people. But the truth is, we need other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get out there and give people a big bear hug and tell them they're doing a good job and push them on out the door and not become reclusive.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right. What are the most significant lessons you've learned throughout your life, and how have they shaped you as a person?
Trishy, do you realize that's a loaded question? There's like
oh, yes.
about a billion different ways you can answer that.
Yes. That's the whole point of these questions.
Most significant, dang. There's not one that is most significant. I'm afraid my life is learning through a lot of little bitty microcosms. And so I'm going to start way back with my dad. My dad got up every day. He worked 7 days a week. He put in 8 to 12 hours a day. It was a nonstop go. But when you've seen the man in the street, everybody knew him. In my little town in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, it's a tourist town. And when they seen Billy walking down the street, dad always had a smile on his face. He was always running hard. I mean, he was on the go, but he was never, never too busy to stop and just say hi, to have a good awareness around everybody that's around him. And everybody loved dad, but dad was the hardest worker in the room. And dad constantly was going. And so, that's me. I want to be more like my dad. And my dad did me a huge favor. I thought it was the worst thing in the world at the time as a kid. I'm 10 years old. I'm downtown. We owned a restaurant. And dad made me put on this stupid signboard. It was a sandwich board. And I had to wear this dang freaking sign out in front of the restaurant 4 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I had to talk to every dang human that walked by my sign. As a kid, this sucked. It was the worst thing I've ever experienced. It. As an adult, I can look back and I can say, thank you, Dad, because I was no longer shy. I had to talk to everybody. And that made a huge difference in my life and learning not only work ethic, you know, my dad taught me that, but by having me out there and I had to go talk to every dang human, I'm the first person to jump out of the truck and go knock on a door. I'm excited to go do it. There are no strangers. Just ask my business partner. I talk to everybody. That's what I do is go and try and impact somebody in their life. So there's a lot there to unpack, but really that's a big part of me and how I've learned, and the lessons started with my dad. And then I'm going to jump into my business dad. I had a business name. His name was Vic Kennett. He's the CEO of Caruso. And we made Christian apparel and sold that all over the country. And I worked for him for 23 years. And I started when I was a young man. I was in my early 20s. I think I was 22 when I started with Vic. But he was my dad at work. He was just like my real dad, except from a business perspective. And so I grew up with a man that cared about me. And he had a vested interest in what I did. And so today I'm trying to do the same thing to the people that are in my life that work for me. How do I help them get better? I just had a young man. He's probably 24 years old in my office, and he's on one of my other companies, and we're teaching how to go out and sell. How do you get out and knock? How do you knock on a door? How do you talk to people cold call style? How do you get on the cell phone? And they don't know, but I'm doing it. Slowly, carefully, gently, kindly. And he's growing up. You literally can see the positive impact in his life and what he's doing through what he does. So anyway, I can talk for hours on this stuff. So I love it.
Awesome. What inspires you and motivates you to keep going, even when faced with challenges?
Well, I'm going to reverse that question. So first off, I face life with challenges. So I don't view challenges like other people. When a challenge, in fact, Trisha, I'm going to say this, I kind of force the topic. I want challenges. Yeah. If there are not a certain number of challenges that I have to go deal with every day, I'm not being successful. So in some ways, as a man, and this is a kind of a man trait, most men are firefighters. They see a problem, we want to go put it out. Yep. That's a typical manly characteristic. It's 100% me. And I can't get away from it no matter what I do. But that's the man side. The business side is this: as a CEO, as a learner and a teacher and a coach, it is through pain that we learn. Mm-hmm. If all you get is cushy and everything is easy, you're not going to learn anything. Right. You're not going to get any better. You're not going to grow to the next level. And that includes me. The cushier I make my life, the worse it gets. I experience growth through pain, and so do you and every other person on the planet. We're always seeking comfortability, but the truth is it's not really what we need. We need challenges. So what motivates me? Making sure I get enough challenges in my day, because it's through the, and I've got staff, my copywriter, she calls me. She's like, oh no, I screwed this up, goofed it. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's go learn from it. Let's not do it again. Let's go figure out a better way to go. People expect me to come in and beat them up because of a mistake. Trisha, we don't come to work. We don't live life. Most of us, 99% of us, don't live life trying to make mistakes.
Right.
We try to go do good things, and then we're going to fail. And most leaders I see, people fail, and then they go beat them up for it.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times when I get a new employee, it's like I've got to get them out of PTSD mode. They literally have been brutalized by their previous employer or spouse. That happens all the time as well. And they're coming in with an expectation of being hurt. That's not the life that we give. We want people to be happy and to be excited. And it is through pain that we learn.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm reversing this is I want challenges. I want people to bring them to me. I love learning about what the next problem is. Sometimes it does get a little bit too much. Guess what? I go home, I drink a beer, I take a chill, and I come back to work the next day and I'm ready to go. It's okay. You get burnt out sometimes. You get tired, but don't lose your why.
Right.
You get up in the morning, you go do it again. And you need those challenges. So seek the pain. Look for it. Look for the things that are hurting. And then yep. go work on it and make it better.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I lighten that up a little bit, even just by talking about you're getting uncomfortable, right? That's, you know, operating in an uncomfortable zone is absolutely okay. Because there yes. are many things. I mean, like a year ago, if you would have asked me if I wanted to do a podcast, I would have said no. Not in a million years. And so you have to get uncomfortable.
Here you are.
Right. You have to get uncomfortable, you know, and sometimes it is from the pain, right? You have to have the contrast in what you don't want or what you think you don't want or what you might not really be ready for. And just go for it.
So I'm going to give you an analogy. And I recognize this in myself. It was about 20 years ago. And here, as I got older, I was parking my car closer to the grocery store entrance. And I did that because I wanted it to be easier. What if it rains? What if it got too hot? I didn't want to walk that far. I gave myself all these excuses. And then I was like, why am I doing this? So then I started parking at the back of the parking lot where nobody was at. I got more exercise. I got more sunshine. I was able to talk to more people. I picked up a couple shopping carts on the way back and helped the store. And I changed my mindset. But we get stuck in a rut and we can't see the weeds in our own life. Take a step back and look at what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yep.
Are you really performing the right actions and the micro things that you do every day. Every day, we're nothing but a major process. Everything that we do. Okay, in the morning, first thing we do, we wake up, the alarm goes off. What do you do next? Well, you get up, you do a half a crunch, you swing the feet out of bed, and you get up. Well, that's a process. You just performed about 5 or 6 different processes. Is there a better way? Have you analyzed all that you do? And is it being done for the right reasons? Are you getting out of bed right? Are you exercising enough? Are you parking too close, too far away from different things? What are you doing and how are you sowing back into your own life? If you're not learning something every day, you're going backwards. If you're not faced with challenges every day, we're going the wrong way. So, okay.
Yeah, or just staying stagnant at that, right? You don't just staying stagnant is not something that most of us want to do. You know, I would venture to say most people that even listen to podcasts are, you know, they're into personal development to some extent. And I think that that's where I really try to combine like the personal development with the business and professional development, because as a business owner, it is going to make every single fear, everything that's like every limiting belief, everything you've ever had in your life come to the surface. So it's really important to do the personal work for your business to thrive.
Amen. Couldn't said it better.
All right. Next question. What do you hope to leave behind in the world as your legacy? And the other kind of caveat to this that I usually say is, what do you want people to say about you at your funeral?
Leave behind. When we die, we get to take nothing with us.
Right.
We all die the same way we came in. So there's nothing tangible that I can leave behind that is worth much. At some point, it'll burn up and go away. My kids, my family, they're going to screw something up and lose it, gain it. Doesn't matter. So stuff is not our answer.
Right.
Often people will answer your question with stuff. But I would say this, what kind of humans am I leaving behind? So I'll give you a case example that my wife and I went through here recently. We had a foster child. That was not the plan. I did not want to be a foster parent. Okay. That was not the plan. But my wife was an SRO, which is a school resource officer. And there was a case that came up and we were able to foster a child without becoming foster parents. And we did. So we had a teenage girl in our house, and long story short, the real dad came back into the picture. He ended up taking our new daughter, and she got hooked on drugs and got pregnant and ended up abandoning the baby at the hospital. And my wife and I chose to adopt the child. And Trish, I'm 50 years old. I don't need to be adopting a brand new baby in my house, but what's my legacy? What am I doing and why am I on this planet? And after thinking about it for about 1 hour, that's all it took. I went back to my wife and I said, yes, because I've been a no more kids person for over a decade. My youngest, I've got 4 children besides my brand new one. I'm like, I'm done. I'm over the hump. I can't have any more kids. And then God says, here, guess what?
Here's
another.
You're gonna
be a new daddy. And that is the legacy. The legacy, not just children, but all of the people that we come in touch with. And I love the butterfly effect concepts. And a lot of people miss this about their own lives. But I'm just going to kind of repeat this. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're making waves. And it's like the butterfly that's just kind of flapping its wings. The flap of the wings can be felt all the way in Japan from America, because you can literally track the waves as they start flowing through the air. And our lives are the same way. Our lives, we go out and everything that we do matters. Everything that we say, everything that we touch, the clothing that we wear, the smile, the frown, It doesn't matter. Everything we do impacts everybody and everything around us. And it's both good and bad. It's not in between. Very rarely do you see somebody that's just writing a wall and nothing happens, because something is always happening because of what we do. So you're asking me, what do I want to leave behind? I want to leave behind a smile. I want to leave behind better humans than where they were before. I want people to be glad about the encounter with me.
Yep.
When they show up at my funeral, I want them happy. I want them sad. I hope I've left people better today than I did before they knew me.
Right.
And I hope when they come to the funeral, that that is the conversation, that good things did happen. And trust me, I've created bad. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes all the time. But I do it with a smile. I try to get back up on the horse. If you've ever rode horses or broke horses, and I have, and it's hard, and you get bucked off, and then you get right back on that horse. Because if you sit on the ground, if you got bucked off, that horse is going to learn that you're nothing but a pansy. And you're probably going to get bit or kicked or something else. Now you get right back up on the horse, you grab the reins, and you keep on kicking. And that's what life is. So that would be my legacy question.
Awesome. That's a great answer. So I think too, I mean, you had mentioned like your, you know, the way that you're interacting with other people makes such a huge difference. And I would even venture to say like, your thoughts and your feelings, right? You're putting this vibration out into the world and you're impacting everyone that's around you, whether you're smiling on the outside and it's fake, or you're like, even what's going on internally. So I think that that's where, like, I meditate every day, at least very minimum once a day, to just calm the mind and get back to a place of homeostasis, really, right? Where I'm just feel like I'm not letting the outer world affect my inner world, which in turn affects everyone around me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deep breaths, pauses, calm the heart, calm the mind, get away, look at the beauty of the world and what God's given us, and just relax once in a while.
Yep.
It can reset you. Honestly, about 15, 20 minutes. Some people nap. I can't. If I nap, I'm done. It's throwing me away. But I can do exactly what you said. Just stop and just rest for a moment. Rest the mind. It's good for you.
Yep. That kind of leads me into the last question, because this might go right along with it. What is one action you take every day to get closer to your dreams?
I'm going to answer that one from a business perspective. And it's a hard one to learn. And I'm going to say this. I run my life by my calendar. So organization. As CEOs, it's so easy to get thrown off into a tangent and to be running in about a billion different directions. Every day I get up, I look at my calendar. What's going on today? Am I working on the right things? Am I having the right meetings? I literally go through, it's like, yes, no, yes, no. I'll delete some calendars right on the fly because it doesn't fit what I need to be doing for the day. And I organize my day, because here's what happens when it's not organized. It's chaos. And I don't mean good chaos. It means I had five other people at the door. I'm running down five different paths. It's not that I'm not working. I am working. I don't have slack time. I'm constantly going, but I'm going to look back at the end of the day. And it's like, what did I accomplish? Because all I did is I let everybody else steer my life and I didn't steer it. And that really makes me upset. So I start my day organized. Am I working on the right things? I mean, I'm talking, the alarm blows off. It's 6:30 in the morning. My phone is up. What does my calendar look like? Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. What am I need to dress for? Sometimes I need to dress differently for different occasions. And so I need to start my day correctly. So your calendar. I've seen negative organization skills. You're so organized that you're over-organized. There is that as well. But for most of us, we're not organized enough as CEOs. And so that is a big part of getting closer to your dream, because it goes back to the weeds. We can't see what we're supposed to be working on because we're in it. And at the moment I step out of my house, it's 7:30, whatever time it is that I get out of the house. From that moment on, it's too late. I can't stop the avalanche. I've got to think about it before I leave the house. These are just rules I put in for myself so that I can stay sane and heading down the right path and making sure I'm on course, because it's really easy to get off course.
Yeah.
So that would be my dream question is get organized. Same thing at home. We only have so much time at home. You need to get organized. What are you going to be doing on the weekends if you have weekends off or your days off? How are you being, you know, positively impacting everything that you're trying to work on at the house? And so stay organized. And it's okay to have a down day and do nothing. In fact, I encourage it. Like one day a week, I try not to work in the yard. I try not to fix everything. I try not to work on business. So that I got one day that it's just me and the family and the kids, because they don't see much of me because I'm charging everywhere else. So one day a week, that's my day with the kids. That's my day with the family. It's my down day, and it's okay to not work. So that's how I answer. Absolutely.
And have you ever heard that saying that you're basically like your car or your garage, and how messy it is and not organized is exactly how your brain is? Like all the things going everywhere all the time.
Yes. Yeah. I can be, my mental desire, Tricia, is to be OCD. It's like, I want everything to be in a desirable place, right where I want it. But I can literally tell you my life has got so crazy that it's physically impossible. And so I had to retrain my mind to be okay with chaos, to be okay with challenges. And everything is not perfect. I know what perfect is, and I sure like it perfect. 99% of the time, it's never perfect. My garage is a mess, and it's not the way I want it, but I'll get it there. I'm doing the best I can. I try to maximize every day to the best of my ability. And then at the end of the day, did I do the best I could? If the answer was yes, then I give myself a pass on the things I couldn't get to. And so my desk is not as pretty as I want it to be. It is good enough for me. It's okay that the garage is not, everything's where it's supposed to be. And it's okay. Yeah. My bedroom, my 3-year-old has toys all over the place, and that's okay.
Yeah. So, well, and not only do we not give ourselves enough credit, and we're hard on ourselves, and we're guilty for, like, make ourselves feel guilty for the days that we didn't work out, or maybe we didn't eat the best, or, you know, maybe we did park really close at the grocery store instead of taking that little extra walk. It's like, those are the, not only do we do all of that and make it so hard on ourselves, we don't celebrate ourselves near as much either. So when you do get the garage cleaned out, celebrate. Whenever you do park long ways away at the grocery store, celebrate yourself for walking in. Do the thing, actually be proud of yourself. Because I think, I mean, at least growing up, it's like, I try to celebrate my kids, but I definitely haven't done an amazing job of celebrating like good grades or something like that, because it's like, they've just always gotten good grades. I've never had to even say anything. They just do. And so I haven't really celebrated that as much as I probably should have. So it's like, we don't learn to celebrate ourselves because maybe our parents didn't celebrate us as much as, I hate the word should, right? But like maybe as much as they could have.
Amen. Amen. I could even, there is negatives. There's over praising. And so I see that sometimes in young kids where parents, we over praise or over, for the most part though, you're right. We don't praise people enough, not just our own kids. What about your spouse?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Boyfriend, that girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Words of affirmation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep. And it for me, honestly, it's my weakness. Believe it or not, I am not good at saying, good job, Tricia. Way to go. This was the best podcast you've ever done. What a great job being a leader. I'm not good at it. And I've actually set things in motion to offset me. So I've got a personal administrative assistant. She helps me be better at what I'm weak at. So yeah. I have thank you cards that go out. We have birthday gift cards that go out to the employees. Little things that I know I'm not good at. So I shore that up with people that are better at it than I am, that have that gifting. So there are a lot of ways to do what you're talking about, even if you're not good at doing it. You just got to think about it. And
have, well, it's a thought that
have your people in mind. It is. It really is.
Yep. All right, Rusty, is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience today?
It's a hard world we live in. We're constantly being inundated with political crap, don't care which side of the fence you're on, tornadoes, hurricanes, economy, inflation, all of these words, they're negatives. And they are impacting you. It's real. But how you deal with it matters. Limit the amount of crap that your mind takes in. Increase the amount of positive that you're putting out and watch your life get better.
Yep.
Don't listen to all the detractors that are hitting you. Focus on your goal and your dreams and charge forward. Be that warrior that nothing can touch. You're impenetrable. You can go do this, but you have to have a rock solid mind. Do not allow those challenges, the chaos, the things that are coming at you to detract you from your dreams. That's what I would say.
Awesome. Love it. And I think that that's for me, dreams are like, they're not created by the news. The news is the most negative thing you could possibly listen to. And they're telling you exactly what they want you to hear. So yep. You have to create your own, right? And pay attention to the things, you know, subscribe to the things that are a positive. Not that there's not negative things going on that we shouldn't know about, but pay attention to what you're listening to, like you said, for sure.
Listening to who are your friends?
Yep.
Your spouse?
Yep.
How are you taking in any information? If you don't think it's good, get rid of it. I had a pastor that told me something, and we all know it, but we don't do anything about it. And he said, change your friends, change your life. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, that was not an easy thing to accomplish. Right. As an adult, I probably have two friends. There's not a lot of friends, but yeah. I really have friends. I not very many, because true friends are really hard to find. They've got you. When something goes bad or down, they're there for you. When people are talking bad about you, they're not part of the conversation. They're positive. So real friends are hard to find.
Yeah.
But when you find them, harness them. Attract more of them if you can. But you're going to have one or two. So change your friends. Change your future. Change. So Tricia, I don't have cable TV anymore.
Nope.
I got rid of all news. I don't have it on my phone anymore. I don't look at it anymore. I don't listen to politics anymore. I'm so much more free. Because to your point, I got to the point where I could no longer distinguish what's real and what's not real.
Mm.
Well, then why am I even trying? I get enough rumor from the world to be current. I really do. Believe it or not, I've been unplugged for 2 years at this point. From news media, I know as much as they do. I know when there's a tornado. I know when something, we're in war with Ukraine. Okay, yeah, I know all this stuff. So you can still keep in touch, and it's probably better, because why am I doing this? Why are you spending your time looking at crap when you can't figure out what's real and what's not real? Right. And it doesn't matter which side of the party fence you're on. We're all being lied to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
By the news media. It's all spend. All of us are brainwashed. So to get out of it,
yep.
Get out of the murky yucky and just stop and get focused on what we should be focused on. We can't control anything in our country. No, but I can change myself.
Yep.
I can get out there and do better things. I can go work on things with my time. I'd be watching news that's actually going to create and build something positive. Change your life.
Yep.
You're the master. You're in charge. Nobody else is.
Right.
Actually, that's not true. If you're not in charge of your life, somebody else is.
Right.
If you're not in charge of your calendar, somebody else is going to dictate what you're going to go do. If you don't have a control of your taxes, guess what? The government's going to take 60%.
Yeah.
These are real things. We've got to be working on our own lives.
Absolutely. Every day.
Every day. Constant.
Yep.
Till the day we die.
Yep. All right. Thank you so much for being on What's Your Dream podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
This was fun.
Yes.